change my mind. They said you might be up to it.
Give me your hand.
Our guest tonight has worked with James Cameron three times in her career. In Aliens, she was the tougher-than-nails Private Vasquez. She played John Connor's stepmother in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. And in Titanic, she gave a memorably moving performance as the Irish mother. Her exceptional career achievements are by no means limited to Cameron's films, though. She's also delivered vivid and versatile work in classic films like Lethal Weapon 2 and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and The Presidio and Near Dark. And in television series like 24 and ER, it is a great pleasure to welcome the extraordinary actress Jeanette Goldstein to our program. Jeanette, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
No, thank you for inviting me.
Your work in Cameron's films are amazing, particularly Cameron's films. And I want to know how you got started in the business and how you first met James Cameron. Because Aliens was your first feature film, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I went to drama school in New York at Circle in the Square, and I also went to drama school in London. And I was working in the theater and, you know, had no training really to work on television or film, and just sort of stumbled into the audition and got it. It was my first film.
Were you aware that it was Aliens? Were you aware of the type of film it was or the caliber of film it was when you?
I wasn't, because I went for an open call, because I didn't have an agent in those days. So I went for an open call, and I knew the name of it, but I just sort of discounted that it could be the sequel because it had been so long.
Right.
And the funny thing is they were specifically looking for American actors who had British equity cards. And in England, when you have your green card, they call it your resident alien card. Mm. That's what it's called. So I assumed, oh, they're looking at the story about resident aliens. So I had no idea until they told me, and then I was, you know, oh, my God, yeah, that's such a great film. Like,
oh, well.
Of course I've heard of it.
So you and Cameron have worked together three times. What clicked between the two of you?
You know, I just understood him. I mean, when he casts you, he has complete trust in you, and, you know, you just sort of give him what's either, you know, on the page or what you come up with, and if he doesn't like it, he will certainly tell you.
Right.
But, I mean, if it works, I mean, it just stays in there, and he's incredibly loyal, as you can see, to everyone he works with, you know, who he likes and respects, and I, you know, feel the same way about him. I think he's fantastic, and, you know,
Well, obviously he's a filmmaker that, and particularly with this next movie he's working on, I think he's going to change the form of cinema. I think that that's his place, and he's the perfect director to do that. But you hear the tough, demanding perfectionist and that kind of title thrown at him. I don't know what the alternative is that you continuously settle for, you know.
You want to work for a mediocre, slightly incompetent.
Yeah, the good enough director, you know.
Yeah, vaguely talented.
Yeah, tell me about what it's like to be direct. How does he direct actors? What is that like?
Well, he just God, you know, it's funny. He comes from the technical end, and he trusts you to do your job. I mean, I the compliment I give him is that in the writing, it's all there. I mean, the logic.
Yeah.
The logic is there. So as an actor, if you don't have a script that makes any sense, then it's, you know, then it becomes very difficult. But now you know how much he stands back. He's a real craftsman. I mean, he's a real, he's not a social animal. He doesn't say things he doesn't need to make you feel good. He's all
sure.
about the work. And I mean, I love that. I really respond to that.
Yeah, and he pulls fantastic performances out of his actors.
Yeah, he really does.
It is amazing. But before we get into Titanic, I want to hear about kind of the highlights for you for both of these experiences prior to Titanic, the Aliens and the Terminator 2. What sticks out for you, memories from those shoots?
Well, Aliens was my first film, so I was just at times, you know, completely overwhelmed and terrified, completely terrified, and I depended so much on the other actors, you know, Bill Paxton and Lance and all the other soldiers, because they'd been in lots of films, and I, you know, didn't know the first thing about the language of film, you know,
right.
like a master shot or what's, you know, I vaguely heard of what a close-up was, obviously, I knew that, so, I mean, so I remember being very cold, because it was shot all in London on Pinewood Studios, and they don't keep the actors very warm. So, and I don't know. It was felt like being in the Army.
Yeah. Did you guys do a boot camp kind of thing for that? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got 2 weeks before we started filming, which is, you know, really generous and kind of unheard of, and we got training with some army, there's sort of like a special services version of the British Army, I forget what it's called, in urban warfare and small mm-hmm. arms, and absolutely, because I've never held a gun before in my life. So.
Yeah, but you are in it, man. I mean, you are a soldier.
You never held a gun in your life, and you are the, you know, the hard as nails as they come in those films.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when Terminator 2 came around, did he offer you that part straight out, or was it another
mm-hmm.
audition process, or...?
No, that one he offered straight out. I mean, we sort of joked that you know, after I'd finished Aliens, all the roles that were offered to me were of like tough Latinas, and
right.
they were shocked when I walked in the room, and they said, "Why, you know?" And he used to say, "Can't they see you're an actor? And you should play a mother, a sweet mother, you know."
Yeah.
So I said, "I'd love to." So he said, "Here you go. Here's a mother. She's not that sweet, but."
As it turns out, yeah.
Right, but I was a mother though, so that was good.
But it must be amazing to see these. Do you have a sense on these films that we're talking about, when you're in the middle of them, how massive they are and what kind of potential they have to reach the world while you're working on them?
I have a sense of how massive they are from the, you know, the sets. I mean, from the Alien sets and especially the Titanic
right.
set. As far as, you know, what they'll do and their effect, I mean, that's, you never know, and that's out of your hands, and, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But with Titanic, oh, my God, the set was unbelievable, astounding. I mean, you felt as if you were on the Titanic.
It absolutely has to be priceless for the actor to be in that, such a meticulously recreated environment like that.
Well, it said, you know, no acting necessary.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'd walk down these hallways, you know, basically lost. I was trying to find my way back, and you'd be shocked to run into a lighting stand because you were so into the world of the film. Everything was absolutely realistic, and then there was like a guy, you know, holding a light. It was shocking. So,
Titanic was shot in Mexico, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you involved in that project?
That, for me, considering everybody else was involved, it was very short. I was just down there 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that had, I mean, it had a lot to do. All my scenes were with children. So, in that way, I was very lucky. You could only shoot during certain hours. And...
Right. And your scenes are real. I mean, there's some of the most moving scenes in that film. And I'm wondering how long into the shoot did you come on? And how did you feel it was difficult to kind of acclimate yourself to that kind of environment coming in when you did?
Well, I think I came in toward the end, toward the end of the shoot. I can't, it's hard to remember. But every time you come into a film, I mean, it's like first day at school.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you come into a series, you know, people have been with each other forever and you come in. So I always feel that way. But, I mean, it was different for me because I was working with Jim for the third time and so many of the people, technical people he'd worked with. And, I mean, it's great. It's great. It's like, it's really lovely because you notice the same people.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
I would say it was, even though it was a huge film, but my scenes were so small and so intimate.
Yes.
Intimate.
But could you sense, since this is obviously the biggest, you know, Cameron's made a career out of making these huge movies, and this is as big as it gets for any director, Titanic. Mm-hmm. Did you get a sense of a different way of working or a different environment? Was there more of kind of a, I don't want to say a pressure cooker environment, but what was the environment like? Was it similar to those other Cameron sets?
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, each one is different. It's always a pressure cooker because he works works very fast and very thorough, and he comes from, you know, Roger Corman, low budget. So
yeah.
There's no, even though it's the budget's gone up, there's no fat, you know, there's no extra. It was different because everybody was speaking Spanish and English. It was all being translated live because all the extras were Mexican nationals.
Yeah.
And but no, I mean, we were in the first scene where I'm with the little boy and girl, and we're being crushed against the gate. So as they locked it,
yeah,
you know, where he says, you know, what's going on, mommy? And the little boy had never been on camera before. Maybe he'd done a commercial. And when he did it, and Jim said, "All right, let's do another take." He said, "Why didn't I do it right?" You know, and then Jim stops the whole production. He goes right next to me. He goes, "Oh, let me tell you how it all works. We shoot it once, and then we shoot it again, and then maybe we'll go to the other side of you. And so we might do it like 10 times. Is that all right? Is that okay? Can you do it?" And he goes, "Okay, all right."
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, you just bend down to him to sort of explain to him how, you know, with hundreds of people around,
mm-hmm.
just to tell this little 4-year-old how it worked.
Oh, that's great.
Does
he do that? Is he a multi-take? Is he kind of? Does he take a lot of takes of shots?
You know, I don't know. I mean, there wasn't that many. It's funny. This was like kind of the only sort of personal, intimate scenes I did, and he gets. There was no. What I'm saying, there's no technical stuff involved in
mm-hmm.
in the Titanic scene. So there were. I don't recall there being that many, but. In, let's say, Terminator 2, we had to get the knife thing to work coming out of Xander Berkeley's, the back of his neck, and
right.
all that. That takes, those, that stuff takes, you know, forever until you get it right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has to be right. So he does it as many times as he needs to.
Well, I know that you came on to do 2 weeks of shooting, like you said, but did you study on Titanic prior to coming on? What kind of research did you do, and how was that helpful to you?
Well, I studied about the Titanic, and especially the immigrants down in the third deck, which you didn't, you know, normally hear about.
Yeah.
The you know, how many of them had died, and who they were. And I was very fortunate to, when I was there before shooting, one of the musicians was Irish, and he was telling me about. He's the one who gave me the bedtime story that I tell the kids,
mm.
because in the script it just says she puts them to sleep.
Mm.
And Jim said, you know, do whatever you want to do. I don't know, sing them a song or, you know, whatever you come up with. And this actor came up to me and was like, well, you've got to do this. You've got to, you know, all our mothers say this to us. It's a, you know, an amazing story. And so we wrote it down, and then I just sort of paraphrased, you know, a bit of it. The Land of Tir na n'Og, the fairy tale.
Yeah. Wow, what a haunting moment in that film. That was.
Thank you.
Now, were you surprised that it caught on like it did? I mean, obviously, it has all the elements to be a massively successful movie, but it's still the number one film of all time. What do you attribute that to?
God, you know, it seemed like people went back to see it over and over.
Well, they had to have, yeah.
That was unheard of today.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know that's what I kept hearing from, you know, people I knew and, you know, neighbors and, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I'd heard, I live in a very Spanish neighborhood, and they would all go, you know, see it. Even though they didn't understand English very well, I mean, the huge melodrama, and they knew the story and went back to see it over and over. It was really amazing.
Wow.
So that's the only thing I know about it.
Now, are you still in touch with Mr. Cameron at all? Or
mm-hmm.
Did he approach you at all for Avatar?
I read for one of the roles, but this actress, I don't know, her name is Sigourney Weaver. I don't know.
Oh, a little actress.
She's a little actress. She actually, we were reading for the same role, so I believe she's going to be doing it. But yeah, no, we had been talking about, you know, just the whole process. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I still don't understand what he's talking about, but you know.
Jack. There's a boy, Jack. Come back!